Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and business mentor. Excited to be with you today as we bring on another phenomenal guest. We have a serial entrepreneur who's going to really dig into the heart of the Rich Dad Poor Dad real life experience. So, anybody who's ever kind of read that book and has been looking for some motivation or inspiration, this is the episode for you. Welcome to the show, Lance Psycho. He is an architect, entrepreneur, and podcaster, as well as co-founder of F9 Productions. We're going to get into more about what those things are, but welcome, Lance. I'm excited to have you here with us today.
Well,
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, friend, it's Lindsay. Pause with me for just a second. You're listening to this podcast right now, and maybe you've listened to dozens or hundreds of episodes. Maybe you've just even done all the things. You've bought the courses, bookmarked articles, joined the Facebook groups. All because you know you need recurring income. It's something that's been weighing on you for a while. You might have heard me talk about it, the someday dream. Well, we're going to make this the today action. It's time to get moving. And here's the thing, you've got all the information at your fingertips. And the fact of the matter is, you don't need any more information. You're drowning in information. What you really are starving for is clarity. Everybody in the world is teaching you what to build. And YouTube is full of how-tos, but nobody is helping you figure out which one fits your business, your lifestyle, your actual audience. Which model makes sense for you? How do you know if people are going to pay for it? Where do you even start? Those are not questions that another podcast episode can answer. You, my friend, need clarity, and that's what I created for you. It's a free guide. It's called Earn 5K per month on repeat. Five simple steps that help you figure out what you should build to get that recurring income flowing. And it's not just what everybody else is building, it's what makes sense for your business. Because here's the truth. You don't need more information. You need to see your specific path forward. That is clarity. And that's what this guide does. So text the word freedom to 55444 and I will send it straight to you. Again, that's freedom to 55444. It's time to stop listening to all the things and start building. Okay, but definitely keep listening to this one episode, shall we? The point is, the next step is waiting for you in the guide. So take action, get that guide sent to you, and let's build something together. All right, back to the episode.
Thank you for having me, Lindsay. I'm glad we can connect.
Absolutely. So let's kick it off. Just tell us a little bit about your backstory and kind of what led you to being this serial entrepreneur in the first place.
I'm a contrarian by nature. I'm a positive reactionary. I'm 42. My journey starts when I was 13. I grew up in Northwest North Dakota between a sugar beet farm and a cattle ranch. And on the sugar beet farm, I tried farming with my dad for about a week. Lasted one whole week. I couldn't stand the mosquitoes. I could barely stand my dad. And it just wasn't for me. I hated the work. And so I said, hey, I'm gonna quit. Don't worry, my best friend Chris, he wants to take the job. I'm gonna call your best friend Bruce up. He's a builder. I want to try getting into the building industry. I called Bruce up. I said, hey, I'll do whatever. I'll pick up garbage. And Bruce goes, perfect. I got a big contract to do roofs. This summer, we're going to do one a day. You can be my gopher. I'll pay you $7.25 an hour. And I said, oh, cool. What's a gopher? And he goes, well, you're going to go for this, go for that. When you're done, go for the things. Then you can get up on the roof with the big boys and learn how to do it. I was the best gopher he ever had. So much so that about halfway, because I wanted to learn how to do it. I was like convinced, I just loved, I'd always been a Lego kid. I'd always been a drawing person. I always tried to build stuff. It just was sort of like in my soul, I could feel it. And about halfway through the summer, Bruce, recognizes like, wow, this kid is really trying. He's 13. This is ridiculous. He's really, really trying hard. And I was like, I wanted to learn how to do the whole process. And he pulled me aside and he says, hey, I'm charging, what do you think? I'm paying you $7.25 an hour. What do you think I'm charging the owners? And I don't know, $7.25 an hour. And he laughed. I was embarrassed. And then he explained the multiplier of how it works with the service-based business. And he goes, no, I'm charging them like 3 to 4 times your labor. And I go, oh, that seems immoral. Like, isn't that like stealing? And he goes, no. I got to cover insurance, overhead, getting the job, risk, tools, screw ups. And I got to make a little money. I got to have profit. Like this, that's my reward for taking this huge risk. Bruce is the first entrepreneur that I ever met. And I was like, whoa. And then I realized that he had throughout the rest of the summer, just kind of again, way before I read the Rich Dad Poor Dad book, I only read that about 10 years ago. He had a lack of anxiety when it came to money. And my dad had just all this anxiety. He just never understood why everything cost so much money. His relationship with it was just vastly different. And I had it, therefore had an anxiety about money. We grew up, lower middle class. I'm very thankful for the upbringing I had. I'm really not trying to crap on mom and dad at all, but it's just like that's a fact. And so at the end of the summer, he pulls me aside one more time and he goes, "What do you want to be?" I go, "Well, I don't want to take your job, but I want to be you. Like, how do I be you?" And he said one of the most mature things any adult man has ever told me, I think. And he says, he's like, "Well, then next summer you don't work for me." He goes, "You should go work for another contractor and learn another trade. And you keep doing that until you've learned, enough trades to be able to then know the trades inside and out and be a general contractor." And I was just like, sold. So every summer I did that. And I even went to up until I was about 2021, and when I even went to building construction technology school, tech school first after high school. And I was convinced I was going to be a builder. That's what I really wanted to be. I was just like, I want to be Bruce. Like, I just love the whole thing. And accelerated finally in that program academically. It was on the dean's list. It was like winning scholarships. And then our capstone project was building a house with our teammates. Our classmates. And we were rolling out the blueprints, and this the word architect for the first time really popped into my head. And I went, huh. Well, I like school a lot, like a lot now. And kind of just want to keep going. And I went, like, what if I became an architect too? Like, if I became an architect, then I could convert that client into be a building to build for them. This is like a 20-year-old epiphany, right? Like, I'm just like, oh man, thank you God for just shoving that into my brain. Like, what? That's amazing. Because I have a 22-year-old, I have a 21-year-old, 19, 18, and 16, and none of them are thinking like this, right? So I'm just like, I feel like blessed to have got that lightning rod. So I applied to
Well,
North Dakota
also,
State.
you had the clarity. That was a big blessing too, I have to say. Like, that's my favorite part of your story so far is like how you knew your passion and you were pursuing it. And thank heavens that your dad blessed you to do that. Because a lot of times, parents,
Oh, yeah.
especially old-fashioned parents, are like, you're going to do what I want you to do,
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had a really good like environment ecosystem to foster all these things at a young age, which is really cool.
Nobody's ever said that before, Lindsay. Thank you for that insight. Because I've told the story quite a bit in different areas. And I don't think I've ever had anybody say, like, oh, look, you should be thankful for your dad for allowing you to like spread your wings. So, yeah, that's a really good insight. I'm glad for that. Yeah, so then I applied to North Dakota State, 70 miles north of the tech school, got into the architecture program, same kind of acceleration, just like all of a sudden I was this academic. I got recruited by MIT. I returned them down, turned them down at the end because I just was like, ah, I got to go. I need to go practice. I need to go actually out in the real world. And the last sort of light bulb went off my capstone year there too. And this word developer came in to my brain, and it was because that's who hires a lot of architects mostly, not it's like these real estate developers. Yeah, it's like, oh, I should do that. What if I can do that too one day? Man, I'd have the whole ecosystem covered. So graduated top of the class, got this amazing internship in Boulder, and then with these two amazing architects, don't get me wrong, design wise they're really good, business wise horrible, got laid off 9 months later. Broke my heart. And then I had nowhere to go, but like, well, nobody else is hiring. I need to find my own work. And that's when we started the architecture company 16 years ago. And then we've went from 2 to 10 people, multiple businesses, a real estate developer business, architect business, contracting business, and podcasting, eventually telling our story. And that's why we're here today.
That's interesting. What else is really interesting, I think, because I've talked to and not all on the podcast. I just happen to know a lot of entrepreneurs and specifically entrepreneurs in the real estate area. I think it's interesting how your education degree played into your entrepreneurship. So often I see like anybody who's gotten to get a degree, they go out and they do their CEO life, their C-suite life, and then they kind of buck the system and totally do a 180. And it's not to say that their experience doesn't benefit them. Of course, always our experience is going to harbor some benefit to whatever we're doing. But yours uniquely attributed to it in a specific way that led you down this path. It's actually pretty unique.
Thank you. I mean, I just exact. I really try to express my gratitude and my thoughts going on shows like this to anybody that'll listen. Even just like me talking alone to God, I'm like, thank you. I just feel really special in that kind of a way too, because there's so many people. And what I try to do also is have empathy for other folks who, like my brother, he's 30, say turns 37 today. Happy birthday. He's not doing what he wants to do. He's doing it because he needs a paycheck, needs to keep supporting his family. He's doing great, makes a ton of money, doesn't, but his job is not his passion.
It's not
I'm just like,
fulfilling. Yeah. Yeah. I understand. I've been there. That was me. So, and that's kind of what I'm saying. A lot of entrepreneurs are in that capacity, and then they end up doing something else. And it takes them a while to figure out what they want to do, even though they're making money as an entrepreneur. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out the making money and marrying that with something that is fulfilling together. That actually is the tricky part to figure it out. Because I mean, real estate's fun. You love real estate, and that's obvious. But a lot of people get into real estate for the money, and then they feel like they're still floundering to figure out what their passion is. And their passion might be something totally different that real estate empowers them to do. It's just a unique story. You have a really unique story and a different perception on it. I think it's pretty cool. I'd be curious, like, let's talk about what it was like for you starting your business. Okay, I mean, you didn't mention Bruce. Did he stay in your life to kind of give you any more guidance beyond that, or was it just that one year?
I went and worked for Bruce off and on after that. Not steady, but off and on. I would work for him. I'd come home every once in a while from like on a spring break or winter break, and I would try to get some, have some extra cash in my pocket and go work for him or stuff like that. What's really fascinating though is then we lost touch after I started my business. Maybe even a little bit before that, I think. Right before I graduated architecture school, I probably quit talking then. And then his wife reached out about 3 years ago, right when I had started doing guesting on shows like this. And she goes, "Hey, Bruce talks about you and thinks about you all the time. It'd be great if you just reach out to him." And I go, "Oh, sure. What's his number?" And she gives me his number. And the timing was really wild. It was, I'm very much like a, "Hey, this is Providence. Here's the fingerprints. This is not luck. This, well, that is luck, right?" And I go, "Well, hey, Bruce, your wife reached out to me, and I actually just recorded a show, and I talk about you all the time, but I don't think you realize how big of an impact you had on my life." And I text that to him, and I don't, he'll never admit if he like brought him to tears and everything, but it definitely moved him, is what his wife said. And then since then, I just was texting with him last night, actually.
That's
It's
cool.
pretty
No,
cool.
that's awesome. Yeah. I was curious because, when we go from work, it's one thing to go from working for somebody else and all of your education focused on the skill of construction and architecture. And I don't think they teach a whole lot about business management. I'm sure they do some. What was that journey like for you? You're like, okay, I'm a free bird. I'm going to build my own business. I mean, that's not an easy feat. What was it like for you?
Well, you're right. They don't teach business more than maybe one or two credit courses in your graduate year. I just gave a lecture at Ball State, actually, virtually yesterday, to one of them. You get just little sound bites. And that's okay. I mean, I'm a professor too at a I've been on and off at both CU and North Dakota State adjuncting. I'm convinced now, after having gone back to the university and teaching, I'm like, yeah, I think we should be just teaching design thinking. Business for architects should be on the job, but it should be through listening to shows like this. Like, that's sort of the new age where we're at with information. So what was it like? It was like I had multiple businesses, actually, from about 19 and 20 until about 2025. I was basically like an independent contractor. I would go get myself and find work to do carpentry wise and all of that stuff. So I had a good primer for it just by putting myself out there and being okay with it. I mean, I just saw the freedom that Bruce had from everything. I was like, gosh, I got it. I'm like, why wouldn't I do this? Like, I can sell myself. I can sell my services. You know, I can go out there and pitch. I know how to put together an ad. Like, this is not rocket science. It really isn't, actually, at the end of the day, right? I mean, yes, you can get into the nuances and the details and minutia. And we have a professional marketing firm that we pay like tens of thousands of dollars to now at our company. And you need that when you get to a certain level. So I use that background, and like, though, I think it's a cool story. And what it is when I was getting ready to, I knew that I could see the writing on the wall. The layoff was coming. You just know, like, what am I doing? Just scrolling around on the, there's no work. Like, are you guys bringing in work? I could just see it. It was ridiculous. And so I fell back on my handyman and carpentry skills. And what I did is Craigslist used to be really good back in the day, I felt like. You used to be able to post a lot more freely without money. It was less monetized. And then you could also write a little HTML.
And you could
I did, I'm
actually
not,
trust what people put out there for more than you can.
yeah, it was just less seedy. I feel like, great, it was, especially in the night in the early 2000s, late 90s. It was cool too. Everybody used it. So I went, fell back on Craigslist, and I put out some ads knowing that it was coming. And what the ads were is, this is sort of me again back to like a, what's the opposite? What's the contrarian take here? What's the positive reaction? So I went and looked up competitors. It was like, oh, wait, who are my competitors? Because what I want to do is I want to go be invited into the houses of these housewives in Boulder who need help. And what would they rather see? Would they rather see what I was seeing online, which is like, you could tell this is written by a gruff, not so pleasant man, maybe has a substance issue, not as professional. And that was the ad I was reacting to. So my ads came out, and it was kind of funny. I mean, it's kind of like glazing myself, but it was like, 25, smart, handsome, sober, master's degree, all these handyman skills. The phone just like, it went nuts. So I did get laid off, obviously, like within that same week or two. And then I fell right into just working for cash for like 3 or 4 months until I landed a bunch of CAD work. And then the CAD work laid the base for the construction company. So then we carried that into, or sorry, for the architecture company. Then we carried that same sort of thought process through with the architecture company. And we literally used Craigslist, which is no architects were doing because they were just too high above it, right? Too foo-foo above
I
it.
know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And that was a start. I like love that.
That's
Just
cool. Well,
grittiness.
you know what's
Yeah.
the trick for a lot of businesses, especially in the construction field? So my dad was a contractor. I was a co-owner in an electrical company here. I have a lot of experience working. I even worked at a log cabin builder up here when I first moved
Oh.
up here. So I'm pretty versed with the way thinking goes with this whole thing. One of the biggest challenges that I see people make when they're in a handyman or a construction type thing and they want to grow is they get stuck on the scaling with employees bit. That's the part where a lot of them get hung up because they know themselves, they trust themselves, they're not accustomed to building a reputation that could be harmed by somebody else. But you know what I think made you successful, and this is just my take. You have this ability to say to yourself, well, why not? Instead of what most people say is, I can't because. And that position of your mindset puts you in a position to see possibility versus all the reasons why something won't work. So you don't accept that. You just simply move forward with what until you figure it out. It's like, well, why not? What is it going to take to? And then your brain just finds the result, finds the answer. And that's, I believe, in a 30-minute conversation, that's probably what was the heart of what made you successful. I don't
Yeah,
know.
no,
Am I off?
I think, no, I think you're right. And I think it ties into, there's this book I read last year, this last year, actually, this year, that made me understand myself better. I made my wife read it so she understood me better. My business partner read it. Anybody that'll listen, I try to tell them, like, it's called The Hypomanic Edge. And it's these stories of basically, they're either founding fathers or they're like tertiary to the founding fathers. So like Alexander Hamilton is one of them. Andrew Carnegie is one of them. Folks like that. And they talk about their psychology. about these dudes who did, crazy stuff and then eventually changed the world, right? The Carnegie, the name, it's everywhere, right? Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Libraries, like very, very big Rockefeller, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm a hypomanic. Like these hypomanics in the positive sense, a lot of them are, fairly high IQ people, and they can see an opening or a niche like we did. And I did multiple times, and then we go like, oh, there's no, yeah, this is a done deal. Like all I got to do is move forward. And that's where I think that optimism ties into it, that you noted, Lindsay, is I, a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, have that. And it's, man, they get frustrated if there's any roadblocks. That's also part of the negative side of it, where it's like, no, we just said yes. We're just whatever it takes to keep going with the yes.
Yes, I agree. That's true. Well, that is a great place to really land this because I think at any level of business, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been at it and you're ready to get to the next level, I mean, you had multiple levels throughout your journey. Ultimately, it just boils down to that optimism and the two main factors. Number one, look for the positive way through, and number two, don't quit. I mean, if
Yeah.
you just keep going and you keep applying something and you make constructive change, you can't help but be successful, and everybody's going to have down times, but it's temporary, it's a season, and you just keep moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
So
Yeah. The
that's
other
great.
thing I've been thinking about too, with it, exactly with those thoughts that I've been layering on top of it too, is like, be prepared for surprise fruits that you didn't expect. And they might not be the fruits you wanted in the end, but there's a positive to it with all of that, being disciplined, just keeping doing it consistent, all of those sort of things. I've been shocked by that kind of stuff.
It's funny. I just did a post this week on that, how I spent 20 years in the automotive industry and I tried to quit it multiple times. I was like, get me out of here. This is not aligning with my moral fiber. I'm miserable, blah, blah, blah. And I would leave and I would come back because the money was good and it was what I knew. And, you know, now looking back, I'm like, wait a second. I got paid to get an education. I literally got an MBA working in the car business, like hands-on. And I learned every element of business from that experience. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. And so, to your point, that's true. I mean, a lot of times we might be in a situation that feels so. The problem is that our feelings feel so real. The fact is, a lot of times they're just an illusion, and we just need to see past that. And just know that this little tiny stitch of time, like if you're looking at a floor plan for a house, for example, and you're looking at the kitchen, well, that doesn't tell you the picture of the whole house, right? That's just one aspect of it. And the same is true with our life and the moments that we're in.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's why I, one of the other things I like to talk about is the law of polarity. Because you're right, it's like, so law of polarity is there's a negative and a positive. It's a physical law. Electricity would not exist without it. In the last 3 or 4 years, it's been something I've been trying to just put out in the universe for people to think about. You're right about the, oh yeah, when I have this feeling, so something bad happens to me or you. We have this feeling and it feels so real, it feels so permanent. But the real Marcus Aurelius level stoicism in this modern era is you going, yeah, today's bad, but man, it's pretty exciting that something real positive is going to happen to balance this out. It's going to happen. And if you can just get through that day without, tearing yourself up, sending the wrong text, email, drinking, smoking, doing negative stuff to yourself or anybody else. And then I have been every single time, almost every single time, usually the next day or even within a couple of days, I'm like, holy cow, look at this positive thing that I wasn't even expecting happened. It could be a call for a new client, an award, whatever. It's just shocking to me. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I just pushed that out yesterday too. It's like, honestly, you're not going through a breakdown. You're actually about to have a breakthrough. And that almost,
Yeah.
like looking back, almost every time I thought, oh, I'm having a breakdown. This is miserable. Life is crashing. It's always putting, when you have intense desire, like he talks about in Think and Grow Rich, that burning desire. Well, a lot of times that collapse of whatever situation's going on, it fosters that burning desire, which then promotes clarity, which then pushes you into seeing that path forward. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm over here now. You know, like everything's working out. Everything always works out, you know, until the day then we leave the earth. And then it
That's
works on
true.
a whole nother level.
Very true, yeah.
Wonderful. What a fun conversation, Lance. I appreciate you joining us. Where can people connect with you? Where's the best place for them to continue listening to you?
Oh, they should go to insidethefirmpodcast.com and check out our show. We do a Monday show, we do a Friday show. A Monday show is very much like this. We're talking to other entrepreneurs, influential people. Friday show is everything about being inside our firms, and we kind of lay the bones bare. And then I will link in with anybody. I love connecting with people on LinkedIn, sharing and networking so they can look me up. I'm the only LANCE last name, Caiko, Caiko.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Welcome.